It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everyone, what is going on? Thank you so much for giving us a listen. We are the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. The daily podcast, hopefully, going to make you a better daily fantasy player, make you some money. So please, check us out each and every day. Best way to do that, go over to iTunes, subscribe to us there, and it'll be there for you each and every day when we get it uploaded. Today on the podcast, going to talk some baseball. We got a handful of day games, so we will only look at the nine or so night games we have on the schedule, so we'll do that here shortly. From a news perspective, there's a couple of things that I've neglected to bring up that I need to bring up regarding a couple of sites out there, so let's get rolling with that. First off, over on FanDuel, they've basically been working and kind of been ahead of the curve, I should say, compared to some of the other sites in terms of having a mobile site that's kind of user-friendly, and they've done a pretty good job. It's not a quick process to develop these things, but they just made some major headway in terms of being able to create your lineups through your iPhone or your smartphone, and I give them a lot of credit for doing so, because ultimately that is really important from a daily fantasy perspective with all the injuries, with all the late scratches, with the bad weather. And let's face it, not everybody is sitting on their computer, on their fat ass like I do all day long, so they don't have the ability to do it. The only way they can do it is on their handheld device. Now, a lot of people have iPads, and honestly, I think that's where more people are, or more of the, you know, quote-unquote computing world is going to go towards, is the kind of iPad-type device. But nonetheless, you know, the cell phone, that's what everybody has right now, and it's a quick, easy way that they've kind of been developing to put rosters in and make changes, and I really tip my cap to FanDuel for being the first people to really devote themselves and saying, hey, our users need this, they want this, and we're going to put in the time, the money, and the resources to make it happen. So a lot of credit going to FanDuel for that. I have not checked out the newest additions to it, but by all accounts, they're basically just making it more and more easy, and there's still more things to come. So good job by them. And it's interesting because, you know, I use my laptop most of the time, but I also got an iPad a couple months ago, and navigating the sites on the iPad is really not terrible. It's not the most fun thing to do in the world, but all in all, it's actually a pretty easy process. I don't have a problem with it. It's when you get down to the cell phone, the tiny screens, and you got to click exactly in the right spot where it just becomes an utter pain in the ass. So I'm glad somebody is kind of stepping up and doing that. And I know Draft Street has talked about being in the process of doing it for their site, and I think the guys at Joust are considering it as well. So ultimately, I think, obviously, the more money you have, the bigger of an audience you have, the more resources you have in place, the easier it is to make these things happen. And again, they do not happen overnight. But I'll tell you right now, by football season, if I'm a daily fantasy site and I do not have a cell phone app, I think you're kind of crazy. Next, I want to talk about Draft Street. They also came out with a new type of game. It's the Pick'em game, but now for Major League Baseball. Again, I haven't checked this one out yet, but I'm glad they brought it in, because let's face it, a lot of people do not have time to do all the research that it takes in Major League Baseball, and if you can just go and through and pick one out of six or seven guys out of a list out of different categories, or different tiers, I should say, that really makes it easy. But they mixed it up a little bit and doing it a little bit differently, where they're including both hitters and pitchers in the same category, so there is some strategy in that. Do you take the better hitter against a pitcher who is almost surely to get some points, as opposed to a hitter, which, let's face it, can go 0 for 4, no question, and end up with nothing. So I'm very intrigued by this. I'm going to go and probably play a game here today or tomorrow and check it out, but I'm glad that they brought it to the table. I stressed it many times before on the forums and on the podcast. I want to see it for PGA Tour Golf. I know it's asking a lot, guys, but if you could get it before the U.S. Open, that would be fantastic, because I'm telling you, with golf, it makes it so much easier because nobody follows it week to week. It's really hard to do. It's kind of on a whim, and I really think you'd actually gain more people playing, because obviously, the last thing they want to do is have people move from the salary cap games just over to the pick'em games, but honestly, I think you're going to get more of the casual players if you did a pick'em game for golf. So as Mark said, it's on the laundry list of things for them to do. If it's not too much work, make it happen, guys, especially for the U.S. Open. I think it would be a nice addition to the site. So that's going on over there at Draft Street. So those are the two things I kind of neglected to hit up on the last few days. We've been busy with stuff. Hey, let's go and get to the games for tonight.
Get about the curveball, Ricky. Give him a heater.
Like I mentioned a little bit earlier in the podcast, lots of day games today, but we only hit up on the night games on the show, so a lot of people don't get this podcast till the afternoon, so no point in talking about games that have already been in the process of being played. So let's start with Washington and Philadelphia. Edwin Jackson against Cole Hamels. The Nationals have held the Phillies to an average of just 2.9 runs during their 9-win, 1-loss stretch. And Edwin Jackson, he surrendered 1 run, 5 hits, and struck out 8 in as many innings in his last start. If you look on a batter versus pitcher matchup with Jackson, not a lot there. Ty Wigginton, 4-for-10 with a homer off of him. As for Cole Hamels, of course, everybody remembers the first start for him this year, going against Bryce Harper, plunking him, and then, of course, being suspended thereafter. But all in all, he's been great against the Nationals. ERA of about 2.62, an 11-4 record, and it's tied for his highest win total against any opponent. Harper went 2-for-5 with a triple and a pair of RBIs on Tuesday. He's batting .325 with 2 homers and 11 runs scored in his last 10 games. I usually don't consider him at all versus left-handed pitching because even in the minors, he was pretty bad against lefties. But he did have a good game the other day against, I can't remember exactly who it was, might have been Bedard or somebody like that. But he's red hot right now, so if you want to consider Bryce Harper, go for it. Had a big game against Halliday yesterday. Also, Ian Desmond belted his 4th home run in 7 games last night. Adam LaRoche, he's done pretty well against Hamels, 4-for-16, all extra base hits, including a double and 3 home runs against the Phillies lefty. Detroit and Cleveland, it's Pfister against McAllister. Prince Fielder, he's hitting .394, 5 doubles, 2 homers, and 8 RBIs in the last 8 games. Didn't do much yesterday. And Miguel Cabrera also has a .400 average with 12 RBIs and 5 walks so far in the last 8 games as well. Now, if you look historically against Cleveland, Miggy's done pretty well. 12-for-25, 3 doubles, a homer, and 4 ribbies in the last 6 games against the Indians. Again, they didn't do a whole lot yesterday, but I think both Fielder and Cabrera make a good bet today to do something in this game. Zach McAllister, 0-1 with an ERA of about 5 in 2 starts since being recalled from AAA Columbus to replace the injured Josh Tomlin, so not a big-time prospect there. As for Pfister, he's looking to win a 4th straight game against the Indians. The right-handers compiled an ERA under 1 in those 3 wins while striking out 29 in 23 innings. So Pfister looks like a really good bet today to kind of get things rolling. He's also been backed by an average of 11 runs in those outings against the Tribe. So definitely like Doug Pfister. Shin-Soo Chu, maybe one guy in the Tribe to consider. 8-for-16 with a home run against Doug Pfister. Kansas City in New York, it's Smith against Pettit. New York has dropped 6-of-8 while batting just .212, including a terrible .111 batting average with runners in scoring position. Andy Pettit, he struck out 9 over 8 innings of 4-hit ball in Friday's 4-0 win over Cincinnati. That was just his 2nd start after his return from retirement. Pettit is 13-3 in the ERA of about 3.4 over 21 starts against Kansas City, but look at this number, 8-0 in his last 12 since 2000, so he's been getting it done against Kansas City. Jeff Francoeur, I was lucky enough to use him last night on a couple teams. He's been 5-for-8 with a homer against the Yankees recently and has actually had a homer in each of his last 2 games. Francoeur is hitting .372, 10 ribbies in his last 12 games against New York. Actually, I think that 5-for-8 number is against Andy Pettit, so maybe not a bad bet there. Will Smith, he is the starter for Kansas City, making his Major League debut, was called up from AAA Omaha, where he was 1-3 with an ERA of 4 in 9 starts. So he really wasn't getting it done in AAA, so I have my doubts that he's going to do great on the Major League level either. Next, Atlanta and Cincinnati. Tommy Hansen against Bronson Arroyo. Reds have won 4 in a row and really are starting to get rolling. They're hitting just .240, though, during their win streak, but have 10 home runs. Cincinnati's belted 7 of them against the Braves, more than half of their 13 hits. Tommy Hansen's going to look to kind of slow them down a little bit, going for his 3rd straight win. Hanson has won 4 of 6 starts on the road with an ERA of about 2.57. He is 0-2, though, with an ERA of about 7 and 3 starts versus the Reds since beating them as a rookie back in 2009. Bronson Arroyo, though, he gets the ball looking just for his 2nd win in 13 home starts. And I'm telling you, folks, if there's a team to play today, it's the Atlanta Braves. My goodness, do they have his number. Arroyo, 1-for-6 with an ERA over 5 in his last 12 appearances there, going 0-1 with a 4.84 ERA in 4 of them this year. The Braves' offense, not really great at the moment, only batting 165 with 4 home runs and 8 runs and losing 3 of 4 against their opponent here. But here's the thing. Everybody on Atlanta hits Arroyo well. I mean, everybody. The batting average is .380 against him. I've never seen an average that high by one team against another. So if you look at some of the stats, Freddie Freeman, 3-for-4, a double and a homer. Brian McCann, 9-for-18, 4 home runs. Martin Prado, 4-for-10 with a home run. Ugla, 5-for-16 with a home run. Michael Bourne, 7-for-22. And Chipper Jones, if he decides to play, 11-for-28, 2 doubles and 3 homers. So, I mean, they just absolutely destroy Bronson Arroyo. No reason not to play a bunch of Atlanta Braves today. Colorado-Miami, Alex White against Carlos Zambrano. Miami, probably the hottest team in baseball, 16-5 in the month of May, and Zambrano's allowed 3 earned runs, 17 hits over 30 innings while going 2-0 in his last 4 starts. He's 2-4 with an ERA of about 3.13 and 8 starts against the Rockies, but hasn't faced them since 2007. Michael Kadire, he's been kind of hot here, 7-for-10, 5 doubles, 3 RBIs in the last 3 games after going 3-for-27 in his previous 6. Troy Tulo, Lewitsky 0-for-6 against Zambrano, but Carlos Gonzalez, not a whole lot of history against him, but he is batting .341, 4 home runs, 19 ribbies against right-handed pitching this year. Alex White looks to avoid his 4th straight start, though, and he's going to have his hands full here. Mike Stanton batting .367, 5 homers, 13 RBI in his last 8 games against Colorado. Both Hanley Ramirez and Jose Reyes are starting to heat up. The Marlins scored 7 runs in each of the last 2 games, so I definitely would consider riding Florida again today against Alex White. Chicago and Houston. Samardzija against Rodriguez. That's Wandy. As Chicago has actually lost 8 straight games. They're flat out awful right now. Lost 9 in a row. The last time they did that would be about a decade ago. So that is on the line tonight. Alfonso Soriano has been one of the few bright spots for Chicago. 3.21, 4 homers, and 2 doubles, including 6 RBIs during that losing streak. But Wandy Rodriguez has held him in tow. Only a .114 batting average with 1 home run and 11 Ks and 35 career at-bats. Also, Starlin Castro, only 1-for-11 against the lefty, which is pretty surprising for him. As for Rodriguez, not great against Chicago a year ago. Only 0-for-2 with an ERA of 5.09. But let's face it, the Cubs are reeling right now. As for Jeff Samardzija, first start against the Astros, he has gone 2-1 with a 4.76 ERA in his 15 career relief appearances against him. Carlos Lee, like I always mention, for some reason, Carlos Lee has good numbers against everybody. 2-for-6, a home run off of Samardzija. Minnesota and Chicago, Anthony Diamond against Chris Sale. During its 5-1 surge this past week, Minnesota scored 44 runs, batting .284, and now in U.S. Cellular Field, that's one of their favorite parks to hit in. They just were on fire last night. Just ask anybody who started Gavin Floyd. Ouch, negative 15 on Joust yesterday for him. Joe Mauer, 467 in his last 15 games in Chicago, so look to him possibly. Chris Sale, he's been pretty solid this year, and it might be a good spot for him, but Minnesota's recent resurgence with the bat kind of makes me a little bit nervous. As for Scott Diamond, 1-1 with a 4.09 ERA in his last 2 starts last season against the White Sox, but he's been the best pitcher for the Twins so far this year. Gordon Beckham, good cheap option for you on the infield. Hit his 3rd home run in 4 games for the White Sox last night. A couple of games left. San Diego, St. Louis, Supon against Lance Lynn. And Lynn got off to a great start. 6-0, 1.40 ERA. And then he realized, hey, wait a second. I'm Lance Lynn. 0-1, 5.125 in the last 2. Padres, though, they're only hitting .218 as a team. Only 191 and 1 homer, 12 runs, while dropping 4 out of their last 6 games. They got nothing going with the bats, so as much as I don't like Lance Lynn, I kind of like Lance Lynn, if that makes any sense. They've only mustered a .172 average with 9 runs in the past 6 games against the Cardinals, losing 5 of those. As for Jeff Supon, 4-0, 2.87 ERA in seven games, six starts against his former club. He loves pitching against St. Louis. Matt Holliday, though, loves to face him. 8-for-14, two doubles, three homers off a Supon. Put him in your lineup today. End of story. He's also hitting .333, three homers, seven ribbies in the last eight games. Rafael Furcal also has pretty good numbers against Supon. 5-for-13, three doubles. And last game to look at is L.A. and Arizona. Ted Lilly looks to improve to 6-0 while trying to help the National League West leading Dodgers to a season-high seventh straight win and a series sweep of Arizona. Only twice in Lilly's seven starts have the Dodgers failed to score at least six runs, and he's actually 2-3 with a 3.90 ERA in his career against the D-backs. Justin Upton, 9-for-20, six RBIs in the last six games. However, only 2-for-25, six Ks against Lilly, so be a little bit leery of that guy. Ryan Roberts could be another kind of cheaper option for you. Three home runs in 14 at-bats against Ted Lilly. And lastly, Joe Saunders, 3-for-6, or 3 wins, 6 losses, with an ERA right around 4 and 11 starts against L.A., but he is 0-3 with a 5.24 ERA in 4 games at Chase Field. Also this year, not very good, an ERA of about 6 at home. Andre Ethier, he's 20-for-40, 7 RBIs during a 10-game hit streak for the Diamondbacks. And Bobby Abreu, 4-for-7 off of Saunders. So really got to give a lot of credit to L.A. for continuing to win without the big bat of Matt Kemp in the lineup. So that's the rundown of Major League Baseball for tonight. Best of luck in your matchups. Time for me to say a quick thank you to the guys over there at DailyJoust.com, great sponsor of the podcast. Every Friday, they've got their $1,000 guaranteed tournament. They put a bounty on somebody. Who is it this week, you ask? His name is Jesse. I'm trying to get him on the podcast because he just went over $100,000 in winnings on Joust. I mean, that just dwarfs everybody out there. And I think I'm second or third at, like, 30,000, and he's got 100K. So we're trying to get an interview with him, but the bounty is on him this week. If you finish better than Jesse, then you get a bounty badge, which goes towards your five badges, which makes you eligible for a monthly free roll on Daily Joust. Speaking of free rolls, they're running a pretty much a $50 one in baseball just about every day. So if you want to go over there and learn the site, kind of learn the salaries, I mean, that is one of the things that makes Joust so great is the way the salary structure is. Every day, it's like a new puzzle you have to solve. They fluctuate from day to day, and it makes the game so much more enjoyable than knowing exactly what the salaries are going to be going into the day and basically using the same lineup day after day after day. Don't have to do that on Joust. Great, great job with that. And we always talk about it, one of the best chat rooms in there. And some people say, it's a chat room. Who cares? It just makes hanging out on the site a lot more enjoyable when you follow your game. So be sure to check them out. Great friends of the show there, DailyJoust.com.
Across the pond, they call it whinging. To us, it's just good old-fashioned griping, moaning, complaining, and bitching. Here's Box Beef.
It's time for a quick Box Beef. Yes, I'm not an American Idol guy anymore. I do love reality TV, but kind of got off of Idol a couple years ago. But I did notice that one of the finalist names is Philip Phillips. And this is one of the things that absolutely drives me crazy, is when people just butcher their kids' names. I mean, what were his parents thinking? When your last name is Phillips, you don't name your kid Philip. Philip? It's terrible. And it brings me back to my college years when I had a professor whose name was Bruce. No joke. First name Bruce, last name Bruce. And this guy was kind of a weirdo anyway. He would like bring us banana bread every Friday and zucchini bread and baked goods to class. I mean, he was kind of out there. But the thing about his story, which is the most lame thing ever, is we asked him, your parents name you Bruce? And he said, well, my parents promised their brother that he could name them whatever, their first kid, whatever they wanted. I don't know if he lost a bet or they loved the brother or what the deal was. But they said, you know what? Our first kid, you can name him. And sure enough, the jackass uncle thought it would be funny to name him Bruce. So he would have the same first name as he had the last name. Now, the fact that the parents let that stay just shows you how questionable the parenting is. Because just because you quote-unquote make a promise, unless it's like legally bound and that jackass brother of yours wants to call your kid by the same last name or the same first name as the last name, you just say, throw it out the window and say, not going to happen. Sorry, you blew it. You could have named him John or Michael, but you had to go with the same as the last name. So that always kind of drove me crazy. But this is kind of the beef here. You know, when you're a parent, there are so many things that you need to do. You know, you've got to watch your kid grow up. You've got to be a good example. But I'm telling you, one of the most important things you will do as a parent is coming up with the name, because that sticks with them forever. You know, unless you're Ocho Cinco and you decide to change it. But you got to get the name right. And, you know, my sister's a nurse in Chicago, and she's an ER nurse, and people come in there all the time, and she's like, man, you'd be surprised at how many people walk in with the name Tequila. Like, seriously? Like, you're going to name your kid after the booze you were drinking the night that you were born? You consummated your relate? Really? That's what you're going to do? So, you know, be picky. So if you're out there, if you're young, if you're thinking about having kids, if your wife's pregnant, think about the name. And here's the little trick about it, is you don't want to go with all the popular ones. You know, if you're having a girl, I fully admit, the most important thing to look at when naming a girl is thinking, have I ever heard of an ugly girl named this name? Because, like, Sophia is a beautiful name. Isabella is a beautiful name. And honestly, I don't think I've ever in my lifetime met an ugly Sophia or an ugly Isabella. They're all radiant and gorgeous. So in theory, that's a great name, except like everybody names their kid Isabella and Sophia. So don't name your kid Isabella or Sophia. There can be like four of them in their class. So gotta forget about the popular names. And same thing with the boys. You know, the boys, it's like everybody's going with Aiden and Jacob. It's like, again, you're going to have like 50 of them in the class. Now, I went with Aaron for my son, Madeline for my daughter. Now, Aaron, I'm not going to lie, I think that we kind of subconsciously considered that name a little bit more because we were watching Lost at the time and there was a little baby on the show called Aaron. I don't think my wife even knows this, but I think that kind of crept into our subconscious when we went with that name. As for Madeline, I don't know, just kind of like a little sweet name. So that's kind of why I went with that one. But if you're going to be a parent, think long, think hard, and make sure you get the name right. Because, like I said, sticks with them forever. And don't name them after alcohol. There you go. That's Box Beat for today. So I'm out of here. We will return again tomorrow on the podcast. Please follow us over there on Twitter. It is at RotoGrinders. If you want to go to our Facebook page, that's great. And you can subscribe to this podcast over there on iTunes. Till tomorrow, everybody, have yourself a great night. It's the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Fix presented by Daily Joust. And we'll talk to you then. See you, folks.